Morning. You're probably wondering what Jeremy is doing up here this morning. So am I. I haven't preached before. If you figured that out, that's correct. When Dave came to me about preaching in November, I picked this specific Sunday. But at first I thought, wow, you know, we've got Alan McKinney, we've got Brent, we've got Dave, we've had guest speakers and videos, and they're all really great speakers, and I'm really thankful for those guys. So, you know, that's a lot of pressure, and now we're really scraping the bottom of the barrel here. But then I remembered, you know, any of us can pick up the Scripture and read from it, and I know this and I believe this, and get truth from that. And so I hope to share with you some of the studies that I've done this week about thanks. And I specifically picked this week because Thanksgiving is coming up that we'll be celebrating. And, of course, if my goal is for you this week to go away and this week remember to be thankful, I've got a pretty easy goal, and I think I can do that. And hopefully you'll all be thankful this week. I know that I'm speaking to a grateful group already, and I know that many of you understand and know these things that I'm going to be talking about. And you'll be familiar with most of the scriptures that we talk about this morning. And you know that we've received a gift, and everything that we do is out of thankfulness. But we can always be increasing in our faith and in our thankfulness. And I've really enjoyed preparing this message. Brent's mentioned this before. When you prepare, you learn even more than you can convey. But I'll do my best to convey what I learned. I hope as we review some scriptures today that you'll decide to be increasing in thankfulness and make Thanksgiving an even bigger part of your life and live even more thankfully. I've called this sermon Thanks Living. I put Thanks Living up there. Bill came and checked with me this morning to make sure I didn't make a typo, but yeah, I'm just being cute, you know, thanks living. We should not just not be for Thanksgiving Day, but we should be living thankful lives all the time. Let's see if I can figure this out now. Wow, okay. All right, so this is a Far Side cartoon. I liked this cartoon. So what we have here is Hal. Hal has an unfortunate birthmark. It's in the shape of a red target on the middle of his white chest. And his friend here, his buddy, says, "Bummer of a birthmark, Hal." And sometimes it just seems like we've been handed a bad hand. But let's think about this for a second. Hal has a lot of good things going for him here. He's walking, he's standing up, he's walking around on two legs. He apparently speaks fluent English. And he's an 8-point buck. He looks to be well fed, and he's living in a mature forest there. And there's no shooters anywhere in the picture. And you know, maybe Hal's buddy is just jealous because he's a 6-point buck, if you look carefully. You know, maybe Hal can take advantage of that target mark. Maybe he could walk into a Target and get some corn off the shelf or be hired as a mascot. Who knows what great things this target on his chest could lead to. If he were to get down on all fours, of course, you wouldn't even see it at all anyway. So I know sometimes we feel like we have a target on our chest. But let's keep in mind that it's not always what it appears. It doesn't have to define our heart and spirit, which is separate from the physical. All the most inspirational stories that we hear and that are in the Word, again and again, people fighting against great odds and overcoming great disadvantages, those are the stories and the people that God often uses, as we see throughout Scriptures. He uses the weak and the humble. And I want to point out that thankfulness is something that's universally recognized. It's something that everyone innately appreciates and prefers, someone who is grateful to someone who is an ingrate. We know people who are ingrates. Nobody loves that. Everyone likes someone who's grateful. So I think that on a really basic level, much like the moral argument for God, I think that this is another evidence that there's a creator, that there's this thing, thankfulness. We kind of feel that it's there and that people need to be thankful to their creator. Even the government acknowledges that the nation ought to be thankful and has a holiday this week. Some employers recognize the value of having a thankful workforce that appreciates each other and customers. Where I work at an insurance brokerage, we have a Microsoft Teams group for 30 days of thankfulness, and we have a thank you app where we can go on and thank others on our team for help that's been given and for team building. One of the first things that we teach our children, you've probably heard, you know, I've learned everything I needed to know by kindergarten, and that's a lot of truth in that. One of the first things we teach our kids is to say those magic words, please and thank you. In our communications with the world, you know, with the checker, with the waitress, with the teller, as we go about our daily business, we say thank you. At the end of my emails at work, I'll usually say many thanks. The concept of thankfulness and appreciation is recognized across all cultures and around the world. And even secular therapists, doctors, and scientists recognize that a thankful attitude can have a huge impact on the mind and health. I'd like to share some quotes that I found while researching thankfulness that I thought were profound. Appreciation can change a day, even change a life. Your willingness to put it into words is all that is necessary. If you really are thankful, what do? You share. If you want to turn your life around, try thankfulness. It will change your life mightily. Give thanks not just on Thanksgiving Day, but every day of your life. Appreciate and never take for granted all that you have. Some people are always grumbling because roses have thorns. I am thankful that thorns have roses. When it comes to life, the critical thing is whether you take things for granted or take them with gratitude. When asked if my cup is half full or half empty, my only response is that I'm thankful I have a cup. On Thanksgiving Day, we acknowledge our dependence. And I'll add to that quote, our total dependence on God. There are three points that I'm going to try to convey today, because I like three-point sermons, and 3 points is about all I can retain. So I've got three-point sermon. It's foundational, so it's really important, and we're going to talk about that. And it transforms us from the inside out, and I believe that, and I see that, and I feel that myself through this study. And thirdly, and finally, thankfulness transcends our temporary physical circumstances to become a state of mind and a state of heart that gives us the peace of God, and we're going to talk about that. That's really something viable we have as Christians. But first, thankfulness is foundational. Obviously faith comes first. I've got to believe it. So faith is first. Once I realize that I've been given eternal life, like Brent talked about before the Lord's Supper was taken here, once I realize that I've been given eternal life through Jesus, and that I've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and I've been given all the spiritual blessings, and I acknowledge that all good things come from God, I have to be thankful. Thankfulness is the natural reaction that flows from that faith. I'm going to dive into some scriptures here, and you can follow along, but I think most of these passages will be familiar to you. We all know the greatest command, and oftentimes before the autumn gets here, we have the banners up here for that verse. The greatest commands are to love God and love your neighbor. And all the law and the prophets come out of those commands. I want to consider 1 John 4:19 here. It says, we love him because he first loved us. He loved us first. I believe that. It says, we love him because he first loved us. What do we call it when someone loves us and then we love them in return because of what they did? I call it thankfulness. So I think this idea of thankfulness is foundational to Christianity. Ephesians 5, 18 through 20 says, instead be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. It's in everything we do in our worship and in our lives. As Christians, we are always giving thanks and we are always acknowledging the good comes from God and acknowledging who God is as our Creator and Savior. Thankfulness was a part of the offerings in the Old Testament. So this is not a new concept. It's foundational throughout Scripture. Leviticus 7:13, along with their fellowship offering of thanksgiving, they are to present an offering with thick loaves of bread made with yeast. So thankfulness was foundational to the Old Testament worship, and we have words up here from Psalm 100. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Thankfulness acknowledges God and who he is. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Thankfulness is always the right thing to do. Luke 17, we have the story about the lepers. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. First off, you might notice the social distancing. They stood at a distance. So truly, there's nothing new under the sun, if that's any comfort to you during the current situation. Notice that it was the Samaritan that had the thankful heart. Again, over and over, God uses the weak and the outcast to make his point. You can look at Zacchaeus and the woman at the well and the paralytic, the demon-possessed, and on, and they had thankful hearts. With gratitude in our hearts. So Colossians 3, 15 through 17 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. notice that we have the command first off in this verse to be thankful. Just be thankful as its own sentence, and be thankful. And the acts of worship are done with gratitude in your hearts. Not only during the act of worship, but whatever you do in word or in deed is to be done giving thanks through Jesus. And that's pretty broad. Word or deed covers everything and all the time. We need to be giving thanks all the time, just like praying continually. It's at the core of our being and should always be in our mind. Be thankful in all circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is another command to give thanks, and we do it in all circumstances. Not only do we do this in all circumstances, but it's God's will for us in Christ Jesus to always be giving thanks. So if we're in Christ Jesus, we need to be giving thanks. It's foundational to being a Christian. Philippians 4:11 through 13 says, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Paul is content whatever his circumstances. He says he's learned the secret of being content. What do you think that secret is? I think that the secret is thankfulness. What is Paul thankful for? He's thankful for grace. Paul says that when he prays to have the thorn removed from his flesh, and the answer is that God's grace is sufficient. Paul knows that he has the gift of eternal life and the Holy Spirit through Jesus. He knows that if he lives, he can serve God and others, and if he dies, he will go to heaven. He can't lose no matter the situation. He will always be glorifying God in his life. Habakkuk 3:17 through 18 says, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Notice the I will. It's a choice to give thanks and to rejoice despite the lack of food, despite the lack of wealth, despite the hard times that come to us in different shapes and forms, but eventually we all face tests. To be ungrateful is to be among the wicked. 2 Timothy 3:2 through 5 says, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. Ungrateful, the absence of thankfulness, is lumped right in with the attributes of the wicked. Just like being thankful results in us doing all sorts of good things because we're thankful, I can see how being ungrateful can lead to someone being proud, abusive, and without love, unforgiving, etc. It's really important that we be grateful. Luke 6:35 says, but love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. This passage is about loving your enemies and being merciful because that's what God has done for us. Notice here, he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. And the great ungrateful was lumped in as almost a synonym for wicked and a description of one and the same type of person. God died for us while we were enemies and sinners. We were ungrateful and wicked in that sense. And so we need to show kindness and mercy just as God has done for us. But the thing I wanted you to see in that passage is that ungrateful is equal to wicked. Romans 1:21, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. In this passage, Paul is describing fallen humanity and that we are without excuse. Notice that they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. So they didn't acknowledge God and what he does for us, and as a result, their foolish hearts were darkened. So being thankful or unthankful can set us on a course that either brightens and enlightens our hearts or darkens and destroys hearts and souls. There's something special that we have as Christians. It's something that the world doesn't have. We have thankfulness for the gifts that we have in Christ. I'll interject a little memory here. It's a Thanksgiving memory, and it was just kind of odd. And as I was preparing this, it just stuck out in my mind. It was probably decades ago in Nashville, and I was gathered with family, as we did, at my aunt and uncle, my Uncle Kent and Aunt Judy's house. And I had my grandparents, you know, were the greatest generation, and they had many, many brothers and sisters. You know, they have a dozen brothers and sisters in their families, all of them. And I never met all my aunts, and I have great aunts and uncles and cousins probably all over creation. But at this particular meal, the only time that I met this woman, my great aunt Opal was there. And as we were preparing the meal, and all throughout the time that I was there, I heard her repeating, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And it was a little disruptive during the prayer to have somebody else saying something, but she did have a special glow about her, and I think that that's an important thought that we should just always have going around in our mind, that we thank Jesus for what he has done. And that gift that he has given us surpasses all other circumstances and all other considerations. So always be thinking, thank you, Jesus, in your heart. First off, we have good thoughts as Christians. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. This is a great list of positive things. If we think on these things, what's going to happen? We're going to be thankful. It's just like count your many blessings, name them one by one that we sing. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. The point of thinking about such things is to be thankful. It's that important. Our thoughts ought to be driving thankfulness and not dissatisfaction. We have everything from God. Matthew 6:11 says, give us today our daily bread. And Alan's talked about this as part of his series on the Lord's Prayer that he's doing. And as Alan said in his prayer earlier, this isn't asking for a ham sandwich. I like that analogy. No, this is an acknowledgement that everything comes from God, not only our food, but our next breath and all the spiritual blessings we have in Christ. Knowing this takes a weight off of us. Acknowledging this lets me appreciate the blessings I have more. We have eternal life, John 3:14-15 says. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. The greatest stressor of all is death. We don't have to worry about or dread death in the way the world does, because we have the promise of eternal life in Jesus, to live as Christ and to die as gain. We don't have to worry. Matthew 6, 28 and 31 through 34. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For pagans run after all these things, and our heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. As Christians, we're commanded here not to worry about food, drink, clothes, or what will happen tomorrow, because our Heavenly Father already knows what we need. Again, this is a heavy burden off my shoulders. The world is fixated on these worries. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God is working all things for our good. We don't have to worry about the circumstances and the what ifs. Whatever the scenario, God is working it out for our good. We've got to believe that. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it's working out good at all. But that's because his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and we don't see the eternal picture yet. And finally, we have the peace that passes understanding. Philippians 4:6-7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. First, this passage says, don't be anxious about anything, which is what we were just talking about. But in every situation, whatever that situation, we pray. And how do we pray? We pray with thanksgiving. That's the magic ingredient. When we do this, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's something special. I want the peace of God that transcends all understanding. I want my heart and my mind to be guarded in Christ Jesus. This is something very special that the world doesn't have and that it needs and that we have in Christ. If we don't pray with thanksgiving, we're not going to get that peace of God. Again, the thankfulness is an important ingredient. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So a lot of times we might pray like, God, I've attended every church service, and I take care of a bunch of people, and I do all this stuff. I brought some stuff for Potter's Children Home. I brought some Captain Crunch and some batteries, and so I need you to do X, Y, Z for me. And I think we know that that's never going to be an effective way to pray, and it's going to be ignored or worse. Instead, we can pray, Holy Heavenly Father, you have done everything for me, everything, and you've given me everything, and I'm so thankful that you care about me and hear my prayers, that I want to bring my concern of XYZ before your throne. I don't even know what is best in this difficult situation. I think in my limited view that I need ABC to happen, but I put my faith in you and pray that your will be done to work out XYZ for good. And I can tell you from experience, and I'm sure many of you can, that that second prayer is always going to be effective. Maybe not how we think we want, but it's always answered because the request is presented with thanksgiving. I want to continue tying thankfulness to our prayers. during one of Alan's sermons on the Lord's Prayer, he mentioned the quality of our requests. I think it's fair to say that if we are approaching prayer with thanksgiving, it's going to up the quality of our prayers considerably. So let's think about praying for spiritual blessings. I can pray for a heart of thankfulness. I can pray for that. Philippians 4, verse 12 says, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. So a spirit of thankfulness is not dependent on the situation. We can decide to be thankful, and we can pray for help with this. It's not always easy to be thankful. It's not always natural. The carnal physical being wants to complain and grumble. I can always come up with a complaint if I want to. I'm pretty good at that. I think a lot of us probably are. There's always something that you can nitpick. And I can, but if I want to walk by the Spirit, there are spiritual truths that we can see and be thankful for. I can pray for wisdom. Colossians 1:9 says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Pray for wisdom. Pray for understanding the will of God. I can pray for contentment and peace. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. So we're not taking anything physical with us anyway. So let's not get too attached to those things. We don't need to pack a bow and arrow to take with us to the happy hunting ground. We know that's not how it's going to work. Don't allow yourself to complain. Remember when the Israelites complained in the wilderness, as soon as they left Egypt, they were already complaining. And about the manna, we're sick of eating the manna, and so on and on. I get the impression that God doesn't like complaining. And I know I don't like hearing complaining about something I've done. I don't like people coming back behind me and complaining about how I did it, or, you know, nobody appreciates that. God doesn't appreciate that. Don't compare yourself with others. We don't need to keep up with the Joneses. And the grass isn't really greener on the other side of the fence. It just appears that way. Once you get over there, you'll think it was greener back where you were. We have all that we really need, and for the most of us, far beyond what we need most of the time. I can pray to have the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We have these listed, of course, downstairs in the hallway next to the children's classes. If we have these things and they're increasing in us, we know that's good. So let's pray for these. Let's pray for these spiritual blessings, spiritual fruit. And finally, we need to incorporate thankfulness as a background to all of our thoughts. In our prayers, we should be thanking God and thanking him for others that he has put in our lives. We can thank God for material blessings. In 1 Chronicles 29, 12 through 14, we have where David's prayer about gifts for building the temple. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. David is a man after God's own heart, and so I pay special attention to David, because although not perfect, which he wasn't, there were certainly things that David did that pleased God. And giving thanks was a big one that David did. Here, David gives God the glory and recognition for everything that was given for the temple and acknowledges that everything comes from God. This is the way we ought to think about everything we have. We thank God for our material blessings. Thank God for the people in our lives. 1 Corinthians 1-4, Paul says, I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. We need other people. God gave us the church. God gives us friends. God gives us family. God gives us opportunity to meet new people. No man is an island, and we need to thank God for each other. Acts 28:15 says, the brothers and sisters that have heard that we were coming, and they traveled as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us, at the sight of these people, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. People encouraged us, and they are a blessing from God. If you've gotten a dose of quarantining and social distancing during this current situation, you know people are good. Let's thank God for the people in our lives. Thank God for trials. James 1:2-3 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. We don't naturally thank God for troubles, but we should. If we're looking at the spiritual aspect of a thing, often we see that a trial results in good, in hindsight. Producing fruits of the Spirit like perseverance is one of the blessings that can grow out of those trials. Colossians 1:11-12 says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience in giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. Here God gives us endurance and patience because we are going to face trials. It also says in giving joyful thanks to the Father. So being strengthened, we're going to be able to give joyful thanks. And 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Paul's talking about grace here is the indescribable gift we have through Jesus. Thank God for his presence. Matthew 28:15 says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We have his presence. We have the Comforter. We have the Holy Spirit. We can thank God for his presence. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you to will and act in order to fulfill his good purpose. God is in us. He works through us as his body, the church, to do his will and fulfill his good purpose. We can thank God for his presence in us through his Holy Spirit. So there are three things that I hope you'll take away today that will lead to a more thankful spirit and a heart and more thankful prayers. First, it's foundational. Thankfulness is foundational. Second, it's going to transform your life the more you have it. Third, thankfulness will well up within us and produce a state of mind that goes beyond the momentary circumstances and gives us that peace that passes understanding. So walk around every moment of every day with this attitude of gratitude in the background of everything you do and say. And this is my last slide. Sorry, it went long. Finally, I'm going to read Psalms 9:1-2. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. Notice that for each of these actions, David says, I will. This is a decision that we make to give thanks and not withhold it, because, believe me, that thanks is due. So I will give thanks with all my heart. I will talk about the wonderful deeds that God has done for me through his word and in my life. I will be glad and rejoice, whatever the circumstances, because of my faith in a bigger picture that I can't fully understand or imagine yet, but I have faith in Jesus. I will sing the praises of his name. To be thankful is to give all the glory to God. If today you haven't received the gift of eternal life through baptism into the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus, then the waters of baptism are ready, and you can receive that gift of eternal life in his name today, and a thankful heart that comes with receiving that gift. And if today you are struggling in your walk and need the prayers of the congregation for any reason, You can come forward and receive that prayer and encouragement today. Please come as we stand and sing.